All right.
Yes, sir.
Now we're ready to go.
All right. Now we're cooking with gas.
I'm going to crack open a Monster Energy drink. I'm going to unleash the beast. Oh, boy. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing all right. Yeah. Getting ready for another week of work.
Yeah.
You know, got rehearsals for Shrek. So that's fun.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is it a pretty rigorous rehearsal schedule?
This last week, it wasn't too bad. I actually only had to be there for like an hour out of the 3 days of rehearsal that they had. So I only had to be there for like the one Tuesday.
Nice.
But this week, tomorrow night is all my musical numbers where they're working on just the music. And then I think on Wednesday, at least, we're going to be choreographing. So I have like dance rehearsal and I'm playing Lord Farquaad, so I'm going to be dancing on my knees.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
So, you know, because I like torturing myself, apparently.
Yeah.
Not necessarily for, I mean, it is my art, but I'm suffering for somebody else's art also at the same time, because I'm not the one that wrote Shrek the Musical.
Yep, those bastards.
Yeah.
Let's get some sort of an intro in here, I think. Okay. I don't know. How do you want to do it? I mean, this is new.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is our own thing. I don't even know.
like, do we go like the straight up like, hey everybody, this is the Downer Cast.
Yeah,
hey guys. You know, or do we go like, hey everybody, come on down, it's the Downer Cast. Like, do like total like morning.
With Brian and the Douche.
Yeah, the total like morning zoo radio. Woo!
Yeah. Like, slide whistles.
Sound effects and yeah. Oh, we got a
It's the Downer Cast.
I don't really know what to do. Like, how do you start it? Do you go, like, straight up downer, or do you make it ironic and make it really...
I don't know. You'd be like, all right, everybody, snuggle up in those beds, curl up in those blankets, and hide away from society. It's the Downer Cast.
This is a great podcast to listen to when you're about to go to sleep, so it reminds you of all of the shit that you're currently dealing with. But yeah, so I don't know as far as intro. I mean,
that worked.
Yeah, we can kind of talk about sort of what the purpose of this podcast is, sort of a mission statement.
Well, let's introduce ourselves. So
okay,
I'm Jason,
and I am Brian.
Yes, and this is the inaugural episode of the Downer Cast.
Yes.
I was waiting. I thought you were going to say
something. Go ahead.
I don't know.
Okay, so basically. Jason and I have known each other for a little while, and we've talked about our own sort of issues that we have as far as with anxiety and depression and things like that. And Jason had the great idea of wanting to make something that could take a look at, you know, sort of dealing with these things and how we both deal with them. And maybe, you know, later on we'll have some guests and discuss how they deal with things like anxiety and depression and stuff like that. You know, Jason and I, neither one are you know, mental health professionals or anything like that.
Not at all.
Further thing from it.
Mental health laymen.
Yes. It is something that Jason and I have talked about at length in the past. And so sort of the purpose of this podcast is to take a look at anxiety and depression, hopefully from, as lighthearted of a stance as you can.
Yeah.
And to sort of give something that maybe people can listen to, and just to know that you're not alone, and to know that it affects a ton of people from different backgrounds and things like that. And so I think maybe for this first episode, we'll just kind of talk a little bit about our backgrounds.
Yeah.
And you know, just it affects a lot of people in a lot of different ways. And so, yeah, so that's pretty much it.
That's one of the weirdest things about like anxiety and depression is it's so... so vast. I mean, there's so many different ways people experience it. But just the fact, like, I know for me that growing up experiencing it from a pretty early age, I mean, just hearing somebody else's story and how they coped, or, you know, like seeing like, oh, that person is successful, but they're, you know, dealing with some of the same crap that I do. I mean, it's really encouraging. And I mean, sometimes that's the best medicine is just encouragement, you know, and like just being able to see that you aren't alone. And this is different from having somebody just say, hey, I know what you're going through, you're not alone. That stuff is bullshit. Like, yeah. I hate it when people just say, I know what you're going through. No, you don't. You don't know what goes on in my head. It's an awful thing to say, I guess, like, as far as, you know, me just saying like, Like, you know, fuck you. You don't know anything about me. But at the same time, it's kind of, that's exactly how I feel.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing about some of these issues is that, like you said, everybody experiences them different ways. And so it's really hard. And I that's something that I had to learn a long time ago is that, yeah, my experience with something and the way that I experience something may not be the same way that somebody else does.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with, I mean, not just anxiety and depression, but with grief and things like that. People process things differently. And you know, you may not know exactly how somebody feels. And so that's where the whole idea of just, encouragement and understanding and patience, like that exactly. To me is sort of the biggest thing. If you're you have a loved one or you yourself are dealing with anxiety or depression or anything like that, it's just, that's one of the things that I have found that helps me more than anything else is not somebody pointing out, oh, you know, you shouldn't be anxious and you shouldn't be depressed because you have this going for you. And
I hate that.
That doesn't necessarily like that almost makes you feel worse.
It
because
does.
Because you're sitting there going, well, then why do I feel this way?
Yeah.
Like
I'm so glad you say that. Like you brought that point up because I was talking to somebody else about being depressed and mm-hmm. stuff. And I was saying how, in fact, this was on, I was a guest on the Nerd Noise podcast.
Oh, okay.
Which, have you listened to that yet? It just came out. No, it's okay. Fine.
I have not, which is really bad because my cousin is one of the people on that podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm Jason knows, and I'm behind on Jason's mm-hmm. other podcast, mm-hmm. that movie podcast as well.
Blogspot.com.
So, but yeah, no, I have not. Anyway, you're saying Nerd Noise.
So yeah, so I was on Nerd Noise and I was kind of talking about this idea on there because they were asking, we were kind of talking about trying to spread off and start other podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about this one and I was saying how I really felt like hearing other people's stories really helps me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, you know, at least like if we set up a podcast like this, if we can help somebody else, then that'd be great. But then also it gives kind of me an opportunity to hear other people's stories too.
Right.
And so honestly, I told them, I was like, I don't care if anybody else gets help because I'm probably going to get help from this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's one of those things like as cheesy and as cliche as it sounds like this really is, it's about encouragement and understanding. And it's about just It's about love more than anything else. I want this podcast to be a labor of love.
Yeah.
And something that, you know, hopefully if we get two people listening that in some way that they
can identify.
They can identify, and hopefully it helps them get through their day or find some new way to cope or something. And that's also, I mean, that's something I'm looking forward to when we have guests, is maybe finding different ways to cope and things like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you know, just like I said, just everybody experiences things differently. So obviously there's going to be different coping mechanisms for those things as well.
Oh, so anyway, so what I was going to say was, so on Nerd Noise, I was telling them about how much I hate it when, like I don't post things on Facebook very much or I've been going through some pretty dark times recently.
Right.
And so like, there's been times where I'm sitting here and I'm watching my kids and I just feel like so hopeless, and I'm just like, okay, you know what? I'm going to post something on Facebook and it's nothing like, I don't try to vague book, you know, I don't try to, you know, I just like try to say something like things are really hard right now. Life is really hard and I could use a mm-hmm. pick me up or whatever. And I hate doing stuff like that still because then it invites people, it makes people feel like, oh, well, I can give advice. And I hate that.
Yeah.
And a lot of things I get is, you know, look at your awesome kids. Look at your awesome wife. You have a really good job. Look at your awesome podcast. Look at all these friends you have and stuff. And it's just like, well, thanks for making me feel like shit.
Yeah. Yeah. You almost, and like I said before, you sit there and you sort of go, well, I don't deserve any of these. Yeah,
exactly.
Because I'm like, I heard this. I think it was, did they call it imposter syndrome? I think is what I've heard.
Yeah.
Is that what it's imposter or something? Like I said, we are not mental health.
Hold on, through the magic of Google.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, we are not mental health professionals in any way, shape, or form. But I recently heard this term, and it's this whole idea that there's no possible way that you are deserving of the good things that you have, and you're constantly waiting for the other shoe to fall. Basically, as they say, you know, to use another cliche, you're constantly waiting for something to happen, and for like you're just constantly just sitting there going, okay, eventually these people are going to find out that I am not nearly as good of a person as what they apparently think that I am.
Yeah.
And
so here's the definition. Okay. So imposter syndrome, also spelled, okay, whatever, nobody cares. is a term coined in 1978 by clinical psychologist. Okay, I'm not a good reader, apparently. Psychologist Dr. Pauline R. Clance and Susan blah, 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 refer to high-achieving individuals marked by an inability to internalize their accomplishments and present a fear of being exposed as fraud despite external evidence of their competence. Those exhibiting this syndrome remain convinced that they are frauds and do not deserve the success they have achieved. So,
yeah. And that's not to necessarily say that I think of myself as being a high achieving individual.
What?
But you find yourself even on the most basic of levels going, oh, well, so and so complimented me on me being a nice person or going out of my way to help somebody, and in some way that makes me feel worse.
Yeah. Well, and I think though, you have a wife and a kid and a happy marriage and a happy child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's a huge accomplishment, and having those kind of things, and then they just kind of weigh on you because you're thinking, I have to keep, you know, like I have to keep doing better so that I don't fail. You
right.
know?
So right.
You can never just stay on one level. You have to constantly try to do better. And that's one of my biggest things too recently is, you know, I have these two kids. And they're both at two different levels. Like Jonas right now, he's almost four. And he's getting to that stage where he's just an asshole. Like all the time.
Okay.
He's just, I mean, it's not like, I mean, because he always tells me, I love you, Daddy, which is awesome. Like, it's the best feeling in the world.
Yeah,
it was literally a dream come true the first time he said, I love you.
Yeah.
And he still says it. He says it all the time. It's awesome. But there's so many times when he's like, it's just that he doesn't get it. Like, he doesn't get how hard I work for him.
Right.
He just doesn't appreciate shit. And so he's just an asshole. So I mean, he'll be like, I want milk. I want milk. And he's screaming. And I finally say, okay, you can have milk. I mean, you know, this is like when he's had like four glasses of milk already today.
Right.
Like, you should drink water. Drink water, damn it. And he's like, no, I want milk. I want milk. And so I went in there and said, we don't have any more milk. Because he drank it all, and he goes, well, I want mommy's milk. She's got this almond milk stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I want mommy's milk! And he's throwing this huge fit, and I, you know, was fighting with him. I'm trying to get the baby to sleep, so eventually, I just, you got to pick your battles, and I just said, you know what, fine, you can have some of mommy's milk. Pour him some milk, takes one drink. I don't like it!
Oh,
I don't
like Yeah. Yeah, for the listeners out there, I have a daughter that was two just this last November, and she's starting to get that same attitude at two. And and it's very much, you know, I want it and I want it now. And then when you finally do give it to them, half the time they're like, oh, I don't want this.
They just don't appreciate anything
really. Yeah. Well, and it's all part of their learning process and things.
Oh, definitely.
And, you know?
And so I'm trying to do my best to, like, especially more recently with him, is trying to communicate that, you know, he needs to appreciate things. Like one of the biggest things is he'll like slap Mariah
every now
and then, you know, his mom.
Yeah.
For those listeners who don't know. And ooh, that really sets me off. And I told him, you know, like, you do not slap your mom. Your mom is the only reason you exist.
Yeah.
And if you slap your mom, I don't even know.
Yeah,
like, that's
exactly
the thing is, like, exactly. Like, how do you punish that?
So my question that I want to ask is, what do you find, because, I mean, you and I have had discussions before that we have similar things that we seem to sort of deal with and that we struggle with, and a lot of it stems from anxiety about not feeling good enough for the little things that you have in your life, even on the most basic level.
Mm-hmm.
So my question for you is, I mean, obviously, I mean, it seems pretty apparent, but, I mean, what do you find are triggers for you?
A lot of the times, even sort of that just like not being appreciated thing.
Yeah.
It's not so much the just the passive, like, I didn't get a thank you for something that I don't care about. You
right,
know, it's just
right.
like what, whatever. But the active, the people who are like, I'm actively involved with, who will make some sort of comment just off the cuff and then not even thinking about it, and it doesn't mean anything to them, but then all of a sudden in my head it's just like internally it just builds upon itself until I'm just like tearing myself to shreds.
Yeah.
And it's an involuntary thing. It's not like I'm active or I'm purposefully thinking these things. It's just right. like, you know, my brain just goes all these places of like, well, what if I did this or what did I do wrong? How can I not do wrong in the future? Oh my God, I'm such a piece of shit. And it just, you know, just completely crumbles.
Yeah.
From there.
I heard this comedian one time call it like, he was talking about like, it's like somebody implants like a little mental ninja into your brain and it just sort of just builds. And it's almost like this like time release sort of thing that just builds and builds over time, and it may not be anything that like you said, it's off the cuff, like they didn't mean it in that way, but for some reason it hit, struck a chord in your brain, and it just built and built and built and built.
And there's a difference too when I'm in it kind of depends on the setting too, because like there are times when my wife will say something where it just triggers me, and I'll just like go inside my head, and then I'm zoning out, I'm not paying attention, and then that builds onto it too, because like my wife or my son will try to talk to me, and I'm not paying attention, and they're like, Jason, and then I'm just like, oh, what, and then I feel like the worst dad in the world, because I'm not paying attention to my family, and then it just keeps building. But when I'm in a setting where, like when we're recording the podcast, we tear each other down like crazy,
right,
and it's fine, it's all it's part of the game, it's understood,
right,
and I know that nothing said there, at least most things that are said there, are not meant, they're not intended to hurt. It's so funny though, because the stuff that's said outside of that setting isn't intended to hurt either, but all of a sudden it's just like I just take it differently.
I've noticed that too with myself, is there's a major difference in the way that I react to something that somebody will say based on context and based on my personal relationship with that person.
Definitely. Yeah.
And so like, you know, like there are certain people that like, I don't really know all that incredibly well, and they will make some sort of joke like that, and it just immediately triggers. And unfortunately for me, I find that, my anxiety has a tendency to present itself in a way that is this immediate reactionary, and there's some anger involved there. That's one of the issues that I have. And so like I have a tendency where if I'm really, really anxious and change of plans or something happens in which, because of how anxious I get sometimes, especially going into social situations and things like that sometimes, where I will build myself up into this certain mindset. And so I'm like,
you just
okay,
gotta get psyched like go to a restaurant.
Right. And so I will get psyched up, and if there is a change of plans, I'm just like and I'm just sitting there just like stewing about this, and somebody will say something like snap. I just like snap at them, and I'm like, oh crap. And then you feel worse about it. And you're like, oh geez.
Cause that's not the normal thing to do.
Right.
You know,
it's
just like, you're being a crazy person right now.
Yeah.
And then you feel horrible for being a crazy person.
Right. And it builds and builds and builds, unfortunately.
Yeah. So. It's nuts. Yeah. I mean, I get angry because one of my biggest problems is when I start feeling so insignificant, I really just, I bottle it up, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And then that's like when I just start getting really angry.
Yeah.
And it'll come out in the stupidest ways too. Like it'll just start turning into, I'm so distracted by my own neuroses that I'll start messing up stuff. Like I'll be cooking and I'll drop a spatula, grab another spatula, drop that spatula, then grab another spatula, and then drop the third spatula, and all of a sudden it's like the world is ending, and then I'm just, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just funny how like the little things just kind of build up, and it's because I'm doing it to myself.
Right.
Because I'm so distracted, and I'm not in where I am now. I'm in some other place.
Right.
In my head, and it's just, it's really my own fault, which is funny when you think about it, because, I mean, I'm basically making myself more depressed.
Yeah.
it's a really vicious cycle. It's nuts. It's crazy.
Well, and like, I classify myself as being somebody that suffers more from anxiety more so than a true, like, chemical depression, because, like, I don't know, from what I've read and the little bit that I've read and the things that I understand of it is that I don't get I don't necessarily get depressed for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just not how I am.
Yeah.
I find that in those times when I do feel really down on myself, I know why I'm feeling that way, and I kind of know the little triggers. It's just I have a tendency to dwell on those things.
Yeah.
And so I guess I don't have a true what you would call like you know the chemical yeah. imbalance depression, but I have found in the that Prozac works quite well for me.
Yeah.
And I know. For those of you that, you know, are not familiar with Jason and myself, we are both musicians.
Yes.
And I write music and things like that. And the kind of weird thing is I know a lot of artists that they say that they don't write well when they are on any sort of antidepressant or antipsychotic or anything like that because it levels them out too much. And I actually found that I had the opposite. When I'm on Prozac, I'm actually able to focus more and I feel better about my art. I don't feel like it's all just shit that doesn't matter anyway.
Nice. That's good because I was more the other way. I was on antidepressants for like 2 years.
Yeah.
I was on Lexapro.
Okay.
Which, I heard some bad stuff about Lexapro later too, mm-hmm. but it was awful. Like I started... For those of you who don't know, I'm going to get deep now. I started trying to kill myself when I was on antidepressants yeah. because it was like I was in a relationship and I didn't want to be like I didn't like her, but she liked me and that was enough for me. I was just kind of like, oh, cool. She likes me.
Yeah.
And I didn't like her, though, like at all.
Yeah.
I didn't even like who she was. Oh, no common yeah. interests.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we got together, and that's like right around when I started taking the antidepressants. And eventually I got to where I just couldn't feel anything. And I knew I didn't like this girl that I was dating.
Right.
But because of the lack of emotions I had, it just built itself into hatred. And it was just awful. And then after that, I was like, why do I hate this girl who didn't do anything wrong to me?
Right.
And yeah and it was just, and it, the whole thing wasn't just about her. Like, I wasn't trying to kill myself because of her. Right. I really was trying to kill myself because I felt like I was a huge burden on my family.
Yeah.
And I wasn't the kind of person who was like, going around saying, oh, I'm going to kill myself. Like, I wasn't trying to get attention.
Right, right.
It was the exact opposite. It was when I got attention, I mm-hmm. felt bad because everyone is feeling sorry for me or trying to fix me.
Right.
And that just made it worse, is everyone's always trying to, and they were doing that whole, look at all these good things you have. You play the drums. Look at all this stuff you're doing. And that just made it worse because it was like, all these good things in my life are making, like, everyone's giving me all these good examples of good things in my life, and it's like I started associating that with why I was so mm-hmm. down, and then I was just like, oh, I'm gonna just kill myself and
yeah,
get and it over with.
Yeah, yeah. And the unfortunate and I mean, the thing is people meanwhile, and they're actively trying to make you feel better.
Yeah.
And that almost makes you feel worse somehow. Exactly. It's like all these things just added, and it's basically it's you know, anxiety. At least in the way that it manifests with me, is it's one of those deals where it doesn't matter what anybody else does. You are somehow going to twist it in your own head
yeah.
to make yourself feel worse.
Yeah.
Like, Jason and I recently started going to the gym mm-hmm. a couple times a week together in the morning. And I've seen my sixth grade teacher there every single morning that we've been there. And this guy, I really look up to him. He was such a positive influence for me when I was younger. I went through a really hard time when I was in like sixth and seventh grade. Right in there, my parents were arguing a lot, stuff like that, mm-hmm. And I had a lot of times where I lashed out, I broke down, things like that at that time. And you're hormonal, you know, you're like sixth, seventh grade, you know, all these things just added up. But he was just such an awesome guy. And Jason and I were standing there, and I'm talking to him a little bit, and he looks over at Jason, he's like, this guy right here, look, this guy's a rock star, man. Like, he does musical theater and all this, and it's like. I have this tendency where when somebody compliments me, I immediately just go, oh, crap. And I start completely second guessing it in my head, and I get super anxious. And it's even worse when somebody compliments me in front of somebody else.
Yeah.
Because then I almost feel like I'm put on the spot, and I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Now I have to be that guy.
And what if this person doesn't agree with the person that just complimented me, and they're secretly like, oh, well, he's not that great of a guy. I mean, he's all right. I mean, you know, you say he's a rock star, but I mean, he's working for a pool company and he hasn't played a show in, you know, over 2 years and all this. And, you know, so yeah, no, I catch myself a lot of times. It's one of those, you know, please, if you're somebody that doesn't suffer from anxiety, depression, and you're listening to this, please don't take what we are saying as don't try to help somebody that has anxiety and depression.
Oh, no, yeah.
But,
it's funny because we're two voices out of millions. Mm-hmm. I mean, every single person has a different experience.
Right.
And there's no way that anybody could just listen to this and say, oh, I'm going to try that. And just, you know, there's no 100% guarantee that anything we suggest is going to help anybody else.
Yeah. And for the most part, I mean, I'm not around Jason 24/7, but for the most part, he and I are people that are functioning for the most part.
Yeah.
While having these things.
I guess. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there are times, but I mean, you know, you're actually able to leave your house 90% of the time.
I wouldn't say 90%.
Really?
No. I'd say probably about 60.
About 60% of the time?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, so talking about horrible things.
Okay.
So this morning, I woke up pretty early, and I just laid there.
Yeah.
I had to go pee, and I couldn't muster up the strength to go pee. And I just laid there, and I felt really, really crappy about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then my daughter started crying. Oh. And my wife was asleep still.
Right.
And I kept telling myself, like, get up, get up, get up. You got to get her. You got to get her. And I don't know. I just didn't.
Yeah.
And then I felt worse. And my wife woke up pretty quick and got her.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, it was just like I was, and this doesn't often happen. I'm usually the one who gets up with her. And so, I don't know, maybe part of me was just like, it's Mariah's turn to go get her.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Then once Mariah got out of bed, she just, of course, like, I know it didn't mean anything. She was just taking a breath because she got up. But to me, it sounded like, like she was all pissed off, and I asked her, and she's like, no, I wasn't mad. I just got up to get Gwen. But to me, I was just like, oh God, now she's mad.
Yeah.
Now I'm the worst dad in the world.
Yeah. And, no, I've had that reaction before where I'm like, it'll be like the smallest thing. And for some reason in my head, it just echoes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, you know, yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, one of my biggest things recently, my like lethargy has gotten really bad, especially in this last week, because we went to the gym on Monday,
mm-hmm.
and I've been going by myself too, but this week I didn't go at all.
Right.
And every single day I would get up and it was like, you know, eat donuts or go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And I ate donuts.
Yeah.
And, you know, then I would just go in after I ate the donuts, and I'm supposed to be getting in the shower to get ready for work, and I'm just, like, sitting on the toilet looking at my phone, not doing anything, just staring at my phone, and I'm just, like, yeah, hating myself. So that's where I come from more. I'm more the depression side than, like, the anxiety side. I'm more just, like, you know, just really, there's a lot of self-loathing there.
Right.
I have no reason to. You know, I have no reason to, like, hate myself, but I do. And, I mean, I'm not going to lie. There are still times where I think of, the thought crosses my mind, I should say, of killing myself.
Right.
But it's always something more like, you know, like once my kids are all grown up, maybe I'll just do it then or something. And those thoughts are horrible. And it's like, you know, I mean, it's terrible. And it's super stressful because you don't know when it's going to happen. But yeah, so as far as it goes, like as far as depression goes and stuff like that, like the way I cope is just keeping myself distracted from that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's where I was going with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, I mean, I really don't want to. I don't want to die.
Right.
I do have a really great life.
Yeah.
And I've been watching, have you watched that show Louie? By Louis C.K.
I think I caught like half an episode, like middle of one of the seasons, but I really want to check it out because I'm a big fan of Louis C.K.
Show.
Yeah,
I mean, talking about like being depressed and stuff, Louis C.K. is just the character he puts on is just an embodiment of depression.
Right.
And I was talking to a friend about it because I love that show. There's a lot of stuff that makes me laugh that, you know, my wife will watch it and she doesn't
Right.
I mean, she knows why, she can see why I like it, but she's just kind of like, that's, she doesn't laugh and I'm sitting there cracking up, and it's stuff that a depressed person would think is funny. But I was talking to a friend of mine about it, and he goes, yeah, I got to about the middle of the second season and I was just getting depressed, so I had to stop watching it. And I'm thinking, I love it. It makes me feel better.
Yeah. Well, on that whole thing of media that affects certain people certain ways, like, I remember when I was working, at Target, and we had this this HR manager when I was working at Target that she was really into, like, the Smiths and Morrissey and The Cure and stuff like that. And I told her, I was like, I love that music. I was like, I enjoy it so much. She goes, really? I said, yeah. She goes, because it makes a lot of people depressed. I was like, it doesn't me. No, at all. Yeah. Somehow I wrap myself in that little ball of melancholy and it makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Somehow. It's really strange.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
To me, I mean, to a crazy person, it makes sense. But anyway, so there was this episode on Louis where one of his old comedian friends comes into town.
Okay.
And he's living out of his car and he's just like super depressed, and he hasn't come by in like 15 years. And so he comes around and they're having a big old night, and they're just, he's like, hey, I want to come and party with you one last time. And he keeps saying one last time. Well, then you find out what he's planning on doing is going to Pennsylvania, doing his last show for $200, and then he's going to kill himself.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And so he's basically like coming to party up with Louis because that's his last friend.
Right.
His only friend.
Right.
He's going to come party it up with Louis, then go do his one final gig.
Yeah.
And then kill himself.
Wow.
And Louis, who is really super depressed and is miserable in his life, they have this big argument. Mm-hmm. And Louis gets really pissed off at him because he keeps saying, well, nothing matters, and blah, blah, blah. And, he's making good arguments. The guy who's going to kill himself is making good arguments for why he's going to kill himself. Or, I mean, he's rationalized it.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It's not that he's making good arguments, but is that they're good arguments to himself.
Right.
And so Louis said something, which to me, a person who... I don't want to say it like I struggle with suicidal tendencies.
Right.
It's not like I've tried to kill myself in forever, but
yeah,
you know, but to a person who suicide is kind of an issue, he said something that really, like, I sat there and I started bawling.
Yeah.
he tells the guy, he says, my life, the guy who's going to kill himself says, well, my life sucks. And he goes, look at you. Who are you? It's not your life. It's life.
Yeah.
In general, he says life is what you make it. You know, you got to look around and see, like, it's not just your life. You are just one of many. And it really to me it made a whole lot of sense. It's like life is a collective thing. It's a collection of experiences.
Yeah.
You don't just live your own singular life all by yourself, no matter how hard you try.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how hard I try to not meet new people or whatever, you walk down the street and you see a whole bunch of new faces and talk to a bunch of strangers and stuff. And it's just this, you know, it's just an amalgam of everybody's lives all mixed together.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, that was an amazing way to put it.
Yeah.
And it was so eloquently said in the episode.
Yeah.
Everybody watch Louis.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, on the whole topic, I mean, you're not the only one even in this room that has ever had thoughts like that.
Yeah.
And I think we've had conversations about that before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I definitely understand how that is. And it's, I don't know. It's just, it's hard. You know, I will say that my lowest point at which I was just, I thought that was it. I was done was in 2010? I want to say it was right around Easter, I think.
Oh man.
2010 or 2009. And it was right around Easter, and it was before my wife and I had gotten married. And there again, for those of you that don't know me, which is probably most people that are going to listen to this know who I am. It's going to be our friends that are going to be listening to this. But in 2008, I got sick. I had bilateral vision loss. I lost vision in both eyes, and I was legally blind for a little while. And I'm very fortunate that I came back from it. Basically, I have the tentative diagnosis of having MS. It's very hard to truly diagnose MS unless you have sort of recurring things. I had this one incident back in 2008, and that was it.
That's multiple sclerosis,
Multiple sclerosis, yeah, multiple sclerosis. And Like I said, I've been somebody that's always kind of struggled with anxiety and to a certain extent depression, more anxiety than anything else. My brother got locked up, which my brother was a person I was closer to than anybody else in this world at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he got locked up in, was it November of 2010, I believe. And so, yeah, was it 2010 or was it 2011? When this happened, anyway, I was at a friend's wedding. I was at a friend's wedding.
You told me this.
Yeah, I was at a friend's wedding, and drinks were flowing, and this was a wedding kind of out in the country. It was a backyard wedding, and somebody was showing off their new gun they'd just gotten, and I had just this overwhelming thought process of I just want to grab that gun, like I just want to grab that gun and go off into the vineyards and just that's it. And in that moment, the resolve that I had at that point and the fact that I'm surrounded by these people that I know and that I love was one of the scariest moments of my life, that I had a resolve that even with all these people that I was surrounded by that were having a great time, this was a joyous event. And all I could think was, I want to grab that gun and go out into the vineyard. And I excused myself from where I was before I had a full-blown meltdown. And I'm so glad that I did not completely ruin these people's wedding by having a full-blown meltdown, crying, yelling, all this at the thing. Like, it's just,
that would have been awful.
I would have completely,
like, something out of a TV show.
Yeah, I would have completely ruined their day. And so I wound up, I drunkenly wandered out into the vineyards, and between Casey and my buddy Wes and me doing a lot of crying and just going, I don't even know why I need to fucking live, and things like that. And the two of them got me to go back to the reception, and that was my lowest. That was my rock bottom, and I was like, I need to figure out these triggers. I need to do all that I can to make sure that I never have this type of resolve again. Yeah. I guess if that makes sense.
No, that does. Yeah.
I've been sort of on a, upswing, downswing, upswing, downswing for years and years, but I never have I been as low as I was in my 32 years of life as I was at that point. But you know,
how old are you now?
I'm 32.
Oh, you said at that point, 32 at that point.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm saying in my 32 years of life, I have never been as low as what I was at that point.
What are you, 40?
Yeah, no, sorry. No, I'm 32. God, 32.
I knew you were 32, and you said that. I was like, wrong?
Sorry.
Anyway, go on.
Yeah, in my 32 years of life, I've never been as low as I was at that point.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's one of those things, like I said, the whole point of this is to sort of give you a little bit of a background on Jason and I and where we're coming from and why this podcast, to me, was such a great idea when Jason came up with it. And why it's something that I hope that you guys identify with, and that it's something that is dear to your hearts, even a fraction as much as it is to us.
Yeah.
So,
go on.
No, go ahead. That's pretty much it.
I was just going to say, you know, I think too, as far as what I hope to achieve is even just, you know, people who don't struggle from depression or anxiety, or just to be able to understand, you know, what it's like for people who do, you know, because like my wife doesn't have anything like that. She's a pretty normal, even keel person all the time, and she always tells me, you know, like I wish I could understand more of what's going on, because she used to be one of the people who would like try to fix me, and like I'd be really down, and she'd just start trying to give me all these reasons to not be down, and eventually she started just, she's like, what do you need, a hug? Do you just need me to leave you alone? And stuff like that, which helps a lot. I mean, it helps a lot more than giving me all kinds of reasons why I shouldn't be sad.
Right.
But I'm just using her as an example of like, you know, whoever's out there, if you listen and you have somebody in your life who struggles from this kind of stuff, you know, maybe you can understand more where they're coming from.
Yeah.
From listening to us, listening to our guests and everything like that.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
Do you want to plug the little bit of info for the podcast as far as, do we have an email address yet?
We do. We do have an email.
Yeah.
We have everything now, I think. Let me see. I'm pretty sure we got... I set up a Facebook page, but it was, like, still processing or something. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which I told Jason, because he, like, we had kind of talked about this, and we were going to record tonight, and then he messaged me early, and he was like, yeah, he was like, I got the email, and I got the website, and I got the Facebook, and I was like, that's making me a little bit anxious about this project. the project that's supposed to help us deal with our own depression and anxiety. I was like, I got a little bit anxious because there's, like... Like
it's real.
It's like, oh shit, it's real, and now I'm actually gonna have to put up or shut up. So, yeah,
hey, you know, I like to be prepared.
No, I know that. I know.
And the thing is, too, is I mean, I already do that movie podcast, so I already knew what needed to be done. So I just,
yeah,
I did it. Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
So
I did it.
Yeah, I did. I'm the best me.
I did it.
I haven't heard that in forever.
That's what I do. I like to bring back obscure
things really?
that were popular for 2 seconds. Yeah.
Look at this man. He run from the cat.
My mind is like a steel trap of shitty information. All the useful stuff just goes in one ear and out the other. It's the stuff that doesn't matter that just sticks around.
Anyway.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
So, as you know, because you're already listening, this is the Downercast.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on that movie podcast.
Well, you can find Jason on that movie podcast.
Yeah, go look up that movie podcast. Brian was a guest once and will mm-hmm. be again.
Yeah.
No, you can find us on downercast.blogspot.com. That's DOWNERCAST, Downercast. You can also find us on Twitter at Downercasters, because it wouldn't let me put Downercast as our Twitter handle.
Strange.
Yeah. I mean, that's the name, but right. the actual like at thing where you think
did somebody already have that?
No.
Weird.
Yeah.
That seems strange.
But it would let me put Downercast 1 or something like that. And I'll put Downercasters.
Yeah, that works.
Because we can be downers sometimes.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, and we're casters.
But we're wheels on the bottom of something. Like casters. Like on an amp. That's what
there
he
you
meant.
Go. Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
sure.
Like that's how we roll. Sorry, go ahead.
Anyway, we're on Facebook at Downercast, or facebook.com/Downercast. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna put up a SoundCloud and a YouTube too.
Cool.
That's just gonna be. Is that my phone?
Mine's on the floor. So I think that's gotta be yours. And mine's on silent. So.
Okay. Anyway.
So yeah, you were saying SoundCloud and YouTube.
Yeah, SoundCloud and YouTube, and those will be Downercast too. Cool. So yeah, it's all Downercast all across the board.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, you know, we can, all of us who suffer from anxiety and depression can be downers, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. Have you seen the meme about it's Eeyore? It's like, you know, the great thing about Eeyore is that even though he's depressed all the time and everything, everybody still invites him along on stuff because they're okay with who he is.
Yeah, that's why I didn't see that, but that's awesome. That
I was
no.
like, all right, yeah, Eeyore.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I have felt like an Eeyore before
a lot
of times.
Me too. Me too. Yeah. I was, you know, little joke of, you know, I said that sometimes people complimenting me can be a trigger for my anxiety. So I've decided that how I deal with this is I tell really lame dad joke puns, and the small amount of hatred that I feel for people in that moment, I go,
that's life affirming.
That's life affirming. Like it just levels me out. I take that little bit of hatred just in little doses, and I go, all right, this has somehow leveled out my anxiety somehow. Like I'm like, I am a piece of shit.
This is me.
I have a horrible sense of humor. I find stupid things funny, and that's okay. Yeah.
Yes, it is. It is okay. Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, thank you, everybody, for listening. And I guess we'll I'm not sure.
Give a send-off. I don't really know how to end a downer
cast. We'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay. No, seriously. Okay, I'm going.
I thought it would be funny. Matt from that movie podcast said we should just, like, do our first episode, but have it just be like, hey, guys, so, we just had a really hard week, so we're not going to record tonight.
Aww.
And bye.
Aww, that's so sad. Yeah.
Okay, bye everybody, for okay, reals.
Bye.